Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to your favorite cousins and your new favorite podcast. Join the cousins as we discuss trending topics, current events, dating, relationships, and family. New episodes are recorded and published weekly. You can listen using Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Make sure to rate and subscribe. Welcome to the party. Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. During this episode, your favorite cousins had a little bit of some technical difficulties. So just bear with us as we try to figure out what was happening with our microphones and our sound, but enjoy this episode anyway. Feel free to comment on our Facebook page or send an email to yourfavecousins@gmail.com. Back, everybody. It's another episode of Your Favorite Cousins. Another light episode this week. We have Cousin Sean.
Cousin Sean here.
Cousin Nikki's here.
Yes.
Cousin Donnie's here.
Hey.
I'm Cousin Lee. So let's get right into what's trending, what's happening in the news, what's going on in our communities, and let's get this party started.
Okay, so a very sad trending news this week was the murder of rapper Nipsey Hussle. I don't know about y'all, but that really, really hurt my feelings. Yeah, if you didn't know his music, I'm sure you've heard his name before. So last year, he released his debut album, Victory Lap, which was nominated for a Grammy. And prior to that, I knew of him from his mixtapes. So he was known to hustle his CDs out the trunk of his car, which started to buzz about his talent. So he was street famous before he was mainstream. And growing up, he grew up in the Crenshaw neighborhood of South LA. And he was well respected, just an icon in his community. So on last Sunday, he and two others were shot outside of Marathon Clothing Store, which he owned, right in the Crenshaw neighborhood that where he was from. And so he was definitely for the culture. He was a businessman. He took his earnings. He reinvested in his community. He tried to teach others about establishing wealth, motivating and inspiring others. He was able to have a casual presence in his neighborhood because he kept himself personable and accessible to the people in his neighborhood. And in spite of everything he meant to his community and what it meant to him, someone within that community he knew and associated with took his life because of hate and jealousy. So, you know, there's always a hater in your midst when you're up and shining. And people you think you can trust show that they cannot be trusted sometimes when you're up. They tear down everything that you built. You know, it's just a real unfortunate thing. Real unfortunate thing that happened. Thursday? There was someone charged with his murder. This guy named Eric Holder. So he's currently in jail being held on a very high bond. I forgot how much the bond is, but they did capture someone that's responsible for his murder. So in thinking about all those things, it made me pose this question. When you're that accessible, it's easy to be a target for your community. So do you think that when you make it, it's safe to stay in your community that you grew up in? Or do you think it's important for you to move on from the community you grew up in?
That's a good question. I think it really depends because apparently Nipsey and the dude had some words maybe previously or whatever. So I think we still always have to, maybe you have to start moving differently. If you do stay in your community, you can't move the same way. You have security or you have people watching your back or, you know, you just protect yourself differently. Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, Maybe that was the difference. Maybe that was his downfall, that he didn't protect himself or that he was too accessible or whatever this situation was that he previously had with this dude.
Right, right. I mean, because I was looking at it like, you know, is it really still all good in the hood? You know, you make it big, you want to give back to your community, you think you're doing good things. You have to be accessible to people because if you're not, you know, people start to feel like, oh, you made it, but now you acting funny. So, you know, as I was looking at the story, I was like, you know, was it a setup from the beginning? You know what I mean? What do you think that him being that accessible to his community, even though he felt that comfortable, that ultimately led to his demise in the end?
I don't, so if you notice, like when you see like all of these different crimes are perpetuated in communities, the I want to say the victimizer or the perpetrator is always presumed as a lone wolf. That's the way I see this guy. When you look at the neighborhood, every guy, you could see the reactions of other people. I don't think one dusty dude should like paint the ends of, you know, his decision to stay in his hometown because of the actions of one guy. And back in the day, like when we had our neighborhoods, when our neighborhoods were, well, I wouldn't say neighborhoods were ever like 100%, but when they were a little better, all people of all different walks of life lived in the doctors live across the street from senators, and it wasn't the way it is now, where it's kind of just like, you know, you feel like you need to leave. It has gotten so bad, you know, that people feel like they need to leave in order to feel protected, or to just, I don't know, to feel like they're not outshining the next person. And we, that's one thing too that I was gonna say. The rappers, okay, people how like a lot of rappers get killed back at home. Address like the culture of like flashiness
Nikki,
that we have going
Nikki, I'm gonna
on.
have to interrupt you really quickly because it sounds
Yeah.
like your mic is cutting in and out. So we're missing a lot of what
Oh,
you're saying.
okay.
I don't know how
Sorry.
close you are to your mic right now. Another point that I want to bring up is after, you know, and during this last week, it was a video of Master P saying, he had posted a video saying that he only goes back to his hometown to help the kids and help the old people, but he can't live there. He's like, I can't live in the hood. He's like, out of all the things I've done, all the money I've made, he's like, I will absolutely give back to my community. If my hometown needs me, they got me. You know, I'll do what I can. I help the kids, I help the old people, but I can't live in the hood. He's like, I can't live there no more. And also on DL Hughley's show, he had Lena Waithe, is that her name? Well, she was on DL Hughley's show this week, and she said Chicago raised her, but she had to move on from there and really find herself. So she wasn't able to find herself for real until she left her hometown. And so, you know, she's just saying that, you know, she needed new experiences to be who she is today. So while she will always support where she's from, she doesn't feel that it's important for her to live there anymore.
I mean, you know, it's that phenomenon where they always say, if you put a shark in a tank, it will only grow as big as the tank. But if the shark is out in the ocean, you know, it grows to 8 feet, you know, so it's like that same thing. So maybe people do need to experience something different and step out of their community to grow and to have new experiences and to broaden their horizons. But, you know, it's a shame that sometimes, I kind of have experienced that same thing, you know, because I went to public school for a long time and then went to a private school, and it was like the people in my neighborhood that I grew up with were like, oh, you think you're better than us because you got this better education, or you know. And it's like, no, but I'm still living on the same street in the same house with you, you know, like you know. So I mean, maybe it you always will have haters. There will always be that crab that's trying to pull you down in the barrel.
And I think ultimately what was cited too during that week, during the past week, is that this guy murdered him out of pure hate and jealousy. And I mean, sometimes it's the one among us. You know, you think that you have support from all people when actually doesn't matter what you do, they're always going to be looking at you like
Right.
at me. So I'm jealous of that. I need to take that away from you. I just hate in this situation it resulted in, someone losing their life. So,
Right. Who was things? I mean, you know, they said that he bought that whole strip mall. He had the anti-gang peace rally. They actually had it or are going to have it. They're in his honor, the police department. So, I mean, you had government officials that were like, wow, you know, we lost Nipsey.
Right.
So that was deep, you know, to me anyway. Like, he was doing something good in his community, but you know, it's
It's
always,
always somebody. And of course, we know
yeah.
there've been a number of conspiracy theories over the past week of people trying to make reasoning of why this guy did what he did, or from the Dr. Sebi documentary to the guy was a snitch and he's an informant and he was working with the police. Who knows the reason? The end of it all, again, the situation made me think about being accessible makes you a target. And I think ultimately, regardless of how down he was in his community, he was up. And when you're up, you got to take the extra precaution. Just from my perspective, you got to take the extra precaution sometimes to protect yourself. And I think in this case, it just it created an unfortunate situation. No one deserves to lose their life in that manner. So, just to wrap this up, it was a tough loss for the culture, his family, his friends. And sometimes I like to find comfort in believing that some people are just too good for this world. And we're hearing so many good things about him. And so, RIP to Nipsey Hussle. We send our sincere condolences to
RIP.
those affected by his tragic death. So that was the sad, sad news of the week. This was like, man, this was like Tupac dying all over again. Yeah, so that was a tough loss for culture. So we're gonna transition this thing. We're gonna lighten it up a little bit. We're gonna talk about this hot topic from my Facebook post. I had made this post. It got a lot of action. I was surprised it got so much action. But I had posted on my Facebook the question: how long can you go without communication with your significant other before you consider them MIA? And this topic was hot on my Facebook timeline this week. I even got a few inbox messages about this one. So I thought it'd be a good idea to bring it live. I know each of you have had some points and opinions about this that were very different from mine. I will say this is a time that I was probably the eyeball, in my opinion. So my eyeball opinion was, I said 2 to 3 days, I consider that an MIA. I mean, day one, I'm like, okay. Day two, I might be like, what? Where he at? Day three, I'll be like, okay, you trying it now. When we get to day four, I might be like, all right, you dumped, or I'm about to take whatever inch you gave me, I'm about to run it straight up I-95. So when I think MIA, I think missing in action. Like, one day for me doesn't mean that you're missing in action. So for me, the actual act of talking every day doesn't weigh as heavy to me as consistency and accessibility and response. So it's like, we might not talk every day, but if I happen to reach out or call you and you don't respond in enough time for me, then that's when I get the attitude. So not so much so if I don't hear from you. But again, my opinion was very different from everybody else's. So I'm gonna let you ladies say what your opinion is. How long can you go without communication with your significant other before you consider them MIA?
24 hours. 4 hours.
Yes.
Listen, well, because in my opinion, my significant other should be checking on me, or I should be checking on them. Even if like I said, it could be a text message, because some days you just don't want to talk. So I'm okay with a text message, but if I know that that is our consistent form of communication, is that we do touch base at some point during the day. If I don't hear from him, then I feel like something is wrong because it's not the norm. So that's why that was my interpretation. Like, MIA means like, I didn't think you were going somewhere, you were going to be busy all day, and I knew I wasn't going to hear from you. If you just don't communicate all day and we normally contact at some point and I don't hear from you, especially if I call you and then I get a voicemail and no text message back or something in 24 hours, it's not more so MIA, but it's more of a worry. for me.
What say you, Lee?
Listen, I'm the same way. Like, I think it's just something that we set out. So, like, you got to figure out how to get in contact with me at some point. Oh, your phone died? Well, you better get on your work computer and send me an email. Or you better write on my Facebook wall, like, hey, I forgot my phone. Like, you know, if, 24 hours is maybe, 24 hours is a lot. Like, 24 hours, maybe 12 hours. If I don't hear from you in 12 hours, we're going to have a problem. And I'm going down 95 to find you, like Donnie said, you know, something like, hey, how's your day going? Hey, you know, I hope that, you know, whatever. I hope the kids is not driving you crazy. Some form of communication. And then maybe if I call you 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, the final phone call before I go to sleep, and I don't hear from you on your way to work the next day, because you got to get up at some point to take yourself to work, then I should have gotten a text message like, yo, my phone died and I was already in the bed. But I'm on my way to work and I'll do better.
You was about to say something else.
Listen, I might have, you know, I'm working on my anger. I'm going to give you 12 hours. So if I get to 9 p.m. the next day and I haven't seen a smoke signal, I didn't get an email, I didn't get a Facebook message, you didn't slide in my DMs on Instagram or something and tell me like, hey, babe.
You better be on your deathbed. That's all I say.
Exactly. You better be like, hun, I'm...
Or an emergency. Like if something happened in the family or...
Yeah, but still, you gotta still just shoot me a text like, yo, grandma, you know, whatever, whatever. And I'll be like, okay, you know, I'll be there on my way to be with you guys, or okay, call me when you get everything straight. Like, there has some form of communication. We have too many avenues of communication these days for you to be MIA for 24 hours. Yeah, and then after hours, there better be flowers or something.
Well, what say you, Nikki?
Girl, it's hard for me to comment on this because I'm usually the one that's scared. Right. To be honest.
And see, that's my struggle. That's my struggle a little bit. Yeah. I don't know. I was just like, like if you go a day, it doesn't make me feel no way. You know, even if we have a routine. Now, don't get me wrong. If I know that I'm with someone who requires more attention than I need, then I'm going to make sure that I put that effort forth to give them what they need. But in general, like, even if we talk every day and we just skip a day and then we get to the next day and it's like, oh, shoot, I was so busy yesterday. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to touch base with you. You know, what's up? I hope you're fine. I hope you're cool. I'm cool with that. But like I said, maybe around that day 2.5, 3, that's when I start to be like, all right, now you're trying it. Now, do you try? You trying to get dumped or what? Like, you trying to be seen? Like, what?
I mean, you don't necessarily have to hear his voice, but I do have to have
a text or something. Like, yeah.
The text a couple seconds. So it may not necessarily be like, okay, I can't talk right now. Work is crazy. You know, things got to be done. Or I'm working on a paper.
Right.
Like, something. But you going to send me something like a smiley face, a winky eye emoji, a kissy face, something so that I know that you're alive. Like,
well, Nikki, since Nikki is coming from the other perspective, kind of where I'm coming from, like, Nikki, how do you mitigate things like that? If you're the one that's usually the one that scares that the guy might have the issue with, how do you mitigate that?
I mean, I've been pretty lucky. Like, I don't think, it's only been a couple of times that I have run into issues like that. I just try to I try to remedy that by FaceTime if I can.
Right.
Because I probably won't call you or text you more, but I'll try to go the extra step and say, okay, you've seen me. This is gonna hold you for this is gonna hold you for a little while. Like, cause I mean, that's a bit stronger than like, you know, a text every day or something. If I make the effort to come see you or to, you know, me come stop by your job or something.
That makes sense. That makes sense. It's like, okay, well, I'm not doing exactly what you want, but I'm doing something a little more, so maybe that'll keep you off my back a little bit. So,
exactly. And I would, Oh, my God. And let me tell you, I was so blown, coming from my perspective. Did y'all see that meme right after Nipsey Hussle passing, where they were like, some girl, I guess, got with it. She was like, see, guys, this is why we get worried when you don't call us. I was like, you gonna stop trying to use this tragedy to justify your crazy.
Oh, okay, how about that? How about that? No, I will. I will.
That's how I felt.
I kind of felt like that too, but in a sense, I get it, because I am a person that if again, a day probably won't make me trip, but if it starts to be, you know, day 2.5, 3, and we do have a routine, then I am gonna start to get worried. And you know, if I'm worried, you know, then I'm going to, you know, that's going to escalate.
Right.
And once I find out you're okay, then I'm going to be mad. Because I'm like, you put me through that. You made me go through this range of emotions unnecessarily when you just could have hit me up. So, you know, I have been in situations where, unfortunately, I have been the one that's been slapped. So I think maybe that's, like I said, I can identify with Nikki, and, you know, I don't really have a dog in the fight, I guess, because everybody else seems to be, you know, like, oh, 12 hours, you know, a couple hours, I need to, I'm like, oh, well, I feel bad then, because I'm like,
bro, you better text.
I'm like, I don't really care that much. I think with that conversation, though, a theme that seemed to stand out on that post is some people were making it a point to say, if you don't check in, or if it's not, if you can go that long without checking in, then that person must not be your real significant other or a person that you're that close with or that you care about. And that's kind of the part that kind of hit me wrong, because I was like, you know, I don't necessarily agree with that, because that doesn't, how much I talk to you or how often we communicate is not indicative of how much I care about you.
Right.
And I had given an example that, you know, I was in a relationship with someone who he was very busy. And, you know, I was busy too. But early on in getting to know each other, I realized how busy he really was. So we kind of had a routine of not talking every day. And it just worked. And it wasn't that I really didn't like him and he really didn't like me. It just worked. So, if you know, it wasn't unusual to go a day without hearing from him. But he always made sure to check in at some point. But if a day passed here or there, it wasn't a consistent day. But if a day passed here or there and we didn't have any interaction, he would come back and be like, hey, I'm sorry, I realized I didn't reach out to you yesterday. He did his best to be consistent. He was consistent.
Right.
He was consistent in those days. So, like, he would make sure that he reached out once a day. That was his thing. Even if it's via text, he's like, I'm going to reach out to you every day. But if a day passed and he didn't, I didn't take it personal, because I knew that he was going to come back. Now, if we got to that day 2.5, it were a couple times where we hit day 2.5, 3, I sent him a text like, are you in the land of the living? Like, what's good? I haven't heard from you. He's like, oh, I'm good, boo. You know, he's like, I'm sorry, I know I ain't checking. He was like, please forgive me. Yeah, because I'm about to send the cops to your house. You know what I'm saying? He was like, I'm worried, you know what I'm saying? But it worked for us. And I really, 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 really like that guy. It just really, it worked. So, you know, but it's been the opposite. I've talked to guys where they had to interact with me every day. And sometimes that was exhausting for me, but I knew that's what he needed, so I did it. So I guess, I noticed that was a theme on the post. And I was like, oh, you must not really like him. Well, I don't think that's the case.
I know for me, that's how I felt. Like, if I'm not into you that much, I don't care. We don't talk often. But if
that's definitely the case.
Yeah, if I'm definitely into you and I know that you're into me and we're on that level, then I want to, I look forward to speaking to you every day. You know what I mean? Like, it's something I look forward to. It makes my day. But if it's somebody that I'm just like, hey, what's up? How was your day? Like, I could send a text and be fine with it. And if I don't hear back from you, I wouldn't think twice about even that person being MIA. Because my expectation isn't as high.
Right. And I guess maybe that level of expectation that you set, it's important to set those things early on. Mm-hmm. And like I said, with this guy, I already knew from the beginning how he rolled and how his schedule was and how it was going to be. So that's something that we settled into. So even though he was consistent in that, though, so that's what I appreciated. Even though, you know, we may not have talked every single day, he was still consistent, and he went out of his way to make sure that he was in contact with me. But again, I think ultimately for me, it's more about accessibility and consistency than it is about the actual act of having contact. Like, we may not talk every day, but if it be that one time that I text you or call you and you don't respond, that right there, that make my jaws tight. Better be accessible. I don't care if we don't talk every day. When I do call you, I have to feel like you're accessible to me. And if you're not responsive to me, then that's where I get an attitude. That's where I get that.
Right.
But Donnie is exactly right. Now, if I don't really care about you at all, I can care less about any of you. But
right.
I guess it's just kind of hard to translate for someone like myself, if I like you anyway, for one. But, you know, it just didn't matter that much to me. And I felt kind of bad. Everybody was like, yeah, 12 hours. I think one dude on my post was like 4 hours. I was like, is this a relationship or wrong?
That's different.
I don't know. 4 hours. Like, definitely. 4 hours is but like definitely 12. Like, if I call you and we normally talk, you know, get that last goodnight text or goodnight call, and I don't hear from you in the morning, that's definitely we have a problem. But 4 hours, I could be busy in 4 hours. Sometimes I'd be running. So you could call me and I'm out running 10 miles. I'm not going to call you back. So, I mean, it really just depends on what the precedent that you have set out for your relationship. Like, don't let anybody make you feel bad because you're not doing the same thing that we're doing. What works for you works for you, and what works for us works for us. You know, everybody is I mean, I wasn't no type of way like, oh, Sean, you know, she's crazy, she not feeling like we feeling. Everybody's different, you know.
Right. That doesn't speak to the intimacy of your relationship.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I know one person that kind of slid the conversation to the side with me. You know, he was like, you know, I want to stay in contact often because I worry about my woman. I worry about the person I'm with. I don't want to feel like, you know, I don't know what's going on throughout the day. He's like, so if I want to touch bases with you throughout the day, he was like, after a couple hours, I'm looking like, okay, you ain't text me, you ain't saying nothing to me. And I was like, again, is this a relationship or parole? Because when you grown and you work, you got stuff to do. But I mean, like, I don't have time to be texting you all day, every day. I'm like, you know, sometimes I might have that time at work where I can BS around a little bit and, you know, do a little extra. But some days, my days is not set up like that. Right. I'm like, so I don't have time to check in with you every 4 hours or be checking in with you every time I go somewhere. Or whatever the case is, like, I'm not doing that. And I'm like, if that's what you need, then you got the wrong relationship with me. Because that's definitely not on my agenda. We definitely not about to do that, because then it starts to turn to neediness.
Right.
And I'm like, your frequency. Right. I'm like, how much attention do you really need? Because me personally, I don't need that much attention. Like, if as long as I feel like you're accessible to me when I want you to be there, I'm good with that. Like, I want to be with you all the time, but I don't want you to bother me. You know, like, I want to spend time with you, but I want you to do it over there. So it's just kind of like, you know, I'm weird, I'm quirky like that, I acknowledge that. But, you know, I don't know, a day just don't make a difference to me. That doesn't make or break my relationship. But I think some people just equivocate that to, oh, you don't like me that much, you don't talk to me every day.
Well, I do, that's not true. Right, exactly. I feel the same way. But I do want a synopsis of, like, our time apart. Yeah. give me the highlights. I need to like feel like I know what you're doing while we apart. Like we have a bond beyond words. I don't need to speak to you every day.
I don't want to speak to you every day, but when you do talk to me, I need the highlights. Right. And it better make sense. Exactly. It better make sense. Because if it don't make sense and my antennas go up, I'm going to be like, ooh, what you doing? What you doing to get spend time? Now I'm giving you too much room. And you know, usually, and that's what I was saying on the post. I was like, oh, I'm giving people too much room. I'm like, this why this maybe this why these dudes don't be acting right with me. They be calling me mean. Y'all the mean ones. I thought I was doing good. I'm like, I always hear this, like, you know, and I'm like, maybe that's why y'all don't be acting right. I give y'all too much room, too much freedom. Next thing I know, you know, I'm finding out something. You've been doing something else. I'm like, Dad, really? Here I was, thought we was being consistent and whatnot. So, yeah, very different opinions on that post. But it was very interesting. I was really surprised about the feedback. That we got on there. So, last thing for the night. So, we also had another discussion in our cousin's chat that we're going to bring live to you tonight. This meme was also posted on our Facebook group. So, if you don't follow us on Facebook, follow your favorite cousins on Facebook, and you can see sometimes our posts and our discussions for Talk About It Tuesdays and Thursdays. So, this meme was also posted, and the meme read like this. It said, ladies, just in case you are confused, God will never send you someone else's husband or boyfriend. So, again, this was posted on our Facebook group as an extension of our Facebook chat. We didn't get any responses on the page, but we're going to talk about it anyways because we talked about it in our cousin's chat. So, I've seen this meme so many times on social media. And in true fashion, you have so many women co-signing it, virtually high-fiving each other, occurring, and all over the post in agreement with it, especially the married women. So, me being the person I am, I like to challenge people's thinking. So, I pose the question, what if their current mate or spouse isn't really their soulmate, and they are married to what is supposed to be the side chick's husband? What'd I say that for? Oh, my God. Like, you would have thought I was Harlot. That's popped up on the post trying to steal everybody's man. Of course, I'm not saying that I don't believe in marital principles. I just asked the question. So then here comes the virtual lashing of people reciting marital principles and scripture about why this meme made so much sense and why God would not break up a marriage in order for someone to prosper with their side piece. And it just tickled me. And I'm going to tell you why it tickles me. Let me be clear. I'm not married, you know. Therefore, I'm not offering any advice to nobody, nor am I trying to plant any seeds. Let me be clear about this to anybody that's listening, okay? I'm not married. I ain't never been married. I can't tell you married people business. I'm just provoking thought. Okay, there are so many people who are married that quite frankly shouldn't be married because they operated in their own timing and they settled for God's, for less than God's best. Okay, they worked in their own timing and they settled for less than God's best. So that's the reason why I pose the question. So many people that are married to jump out there, God ain't gonna bless you with my husband. He ain't about to give no other woman my husband. But I'm like, sis, she already had him. Right? She already had him. And she probably gonna have him. Because let's be clear about this also. All side piece relationships are not failures. You got a lot of married, got a lot of side piece turned wives out here.
True.
You understand me? So
is one. She definitely turned into a whole wife.
Who? Alicia Keys is one. She's a perfect example. So again, I didn't go on the post with the meme to debunk anybody's thoughts or, you know, the Holy Ghost filled and righteous on, you know, the wedding police or the marriage police. I'm not here. Hands up, don't shoot. You know, I'm not here for that. I'm just here to provoke thought. What if your current mate or spouse really isn't your soulmate and you married to somebody else's husband? So if you married to somebody else's husband, how you know that God ain't gonna bless somebody with your husband right now?
Right.
That's all I ask.
I mean, yeah, when you break it down into parts, of course, that's why people have multiple marriages. People are thinking about it from one point of view, like, this is my spouse, and are you saying it's all right for somebody to come take my man? No.
Right. So, as I'm
thinking critically today.
Right. And I'm like, I'm asking these people, like, I'm just asking a question. I'm like, are you saying that it's not possible? I'm saying I think it is possible. What if your spouse isn't your soulmate? What if true love awaits on the other side of the person that you're married to right now?
Right.
Do you think that provokes cheating in a relationship?
No, it doesn't. No. I think they're mutually, they're mutually exclusive. It doesn't mean anything. Like, there's tons of people that get divorced for whatever reason and find their soulmate the second time around. Like, it doesn't mean that they cheated with that person, or they even knew that person while they were in their first marriage. But people sometimes are just so stuck in the idea of the side piece or the idea that, and I do understand that you want to do it once and get married again, or you want to find your soulmate and all that other stuff. But if it doesn't work out, your soulmate might still be out there, waiting for you.
Right.
So,
do you guys feel like we can have more than one soulmate? I know that's
extra. I think so. And let me tell you why I think so. I think that we go through phases. You know how as we grow and we evolve, even our bodies change. You understand what I'm saying? So I think that as we evolve, sometimes you just outgrow situations, places, and things. And I think that as you evolve as a person, your needs change, your wants change, the outlook changes. And sometimes in one situation, and then as you're growing and you're changing, your needs change, you want something else. You need something else. You thrive on something else. And the way that you connected to one person 10 years ago may not be the way that you connect to that person now. So even if it's the same principle, this is why I think that people that are married, it's important for them to renew their relationships. You have to find a way to renew with each other. Because if you don't take that time to renew and reconnect with one another, you're not going to be able to withstand your individual growth and changes and transitions. Because we all change.
Yeah.
And I think that we have a person that are suited for different phases of our life. Some people are lucky enough to find that person that can carry them through all those changes. And then there are other people who don't, and they find their life phase through multiple people. So I think that that's the case for people that get married multiple times. You have some people that get married multiple times because they're just frivolous people and, they love. But you have some people who genuinely have strong connections and marriages to their first spouse, second spouse, or even look at someone that gets married and they lose their spouse tragically to death.
Right.
And they happen to find someone else.
Yeah.
That they connect with just as much, if not stronger. Very possible. I think it's very possible to have more than one soulmate in your lifetime. I just think that everyone is not as fortunate to meet their soulmate.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think. Or it's just a situation they have, I think they call it star-crossed. When it's like you'll never be together, no matter what. It just doesn't work out, even though you love that person, you have that connection. It just doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm. Time, everything.
Mm. Yeah, it does. And like you said, what's the term you just used, Nikki? Star-crossed?
So, so think about it like this. You have
this star-crossed situation going on. I think that that's the case with some people's marriages.
I think that you forced yourself into some,
listen, and I don't care who listens to this as married that gets mad at me, because I'm going to say it. Some of you are together and have no business being together. God ain't put you together. You did that on your own. Mm-hmm. Okay? And you forced yourselves by whatever situation to be together. Okay? I think in a situation like that, that could be one of those situations where you are a star-crossed lover.
You forced it. So because no matter what, it just doesn't work out. Not because you don't want it to, not because you don't love the person. It just doesn't work. So if you have a situation like that and your spouse or your significant other finds their happiness and love through someone else, why are you mad? Are you mad because they found someone else? Or are you mad because they lied about it? Because if they're getting out of your way, that means that it's something on the other side of them for you.
Yep.
Probably something even better.
But people don't think of that first. The first thing they think about is, what, look what you're doing to
me. I agree with that, because we're human. Because if it was happening to me, that's my first response.
Right.
Absolutely my first response. Oh, you cheated on me? What? Absolutely. I'm going to be pissed. But ultimately, I don't want no man that's going to stay with me thinking about another woman. If I'm married to you and you're thinking all the time about another woman, because you're wondering what could be, go over there. Find out. I ain't saying I'm going to be here when you get back. But go find out.
Right.
Maybe she going to rock your world. Maybe she be the best thing that ever happened to you or the worst thing that ever happened to you. But that's a chance that you take.
Right.
But it's not my job, even though she's a side piece, it's not my job to condemn her because she's not the home wrecker. You are.
Right.
And I think that's what gets under my skin when people look at a side guy or a side piece. Oh, you took my husband from me. Nah, sis, he was already gone. He was gone. Premeditation takes 1 second, half a second.
Yeah.
If you had enough time to go over there, you meant it.
Right.
So, of course, again, I'm provoking thought. So when I see this meme and I see these women co-sign, that's right, you ain't gonna have my husband. I'm like, oof.
And that doesn't have to even be physical. I mean, like, you know, our favorite pastor John Gray said he didn't have sex with that woman, but I'm sure there was some emotional something that was there.
We're gonna have a whole episode on John Gray. When I tell you,
man, that has to be an entire episode for real.
That idea of, well, I didn't cheat with her because I didn't have sex with her. But you can be emotionally involved with somebody and then not ever be physical. They can fill that void for you.
Listen.
My best friend and I had this conversation just yesterday about somebody's husband being like, I know she cheated on me. And the wife was like, no, I didn't cheat on you. And I don't know what his definition of cheat was. Did you have sex with somebody else and that's why he's mad? Or were you just emotionally involved with someone else? Were you sending text messages? Were you sending emails? Were you sending pictures? You know, was it some line that you crossed that made him feel like your attention was going somewhere else? It doesn't always happen.
Exactly.
That's true. I know on one comment I also had made on the post, you know, like I said, that people, when you talk about marriage, especially, you know, people jump into the biblical and Christian principles of marriage. And like I said, you know, I believe that some people operate in their own timing and they settle for less than God's best. So I was like, if we're going to keep it all the way 100 and keep it in line with Christian principles, you know, and you trust in God, some of you jump before God's plan for you. Let's be clear.
I think that sometimes there are people who are in turmoil in their relationships, and they're praying and begging God to fix their broken marriages and situations when it just isn't working. Right. So I think that we all can agree that God can fix anything, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you also agree that sometimes things are intentionally broken in order for us to force change among people?
Yeah.
Okay. Could you also agree that in some situations, no matter how hard you pray, it just isn't going to work the way that you want it because there's something else better for you?
Absolutely. Because sometimes what you're praying for isn't what's for you. You also have to remember that what the desires of your heart are might not be what your destiny is.
Thank you.
I think that's different. Like sometimes we can pray, like, I want things to happen this way, but that's not God's plan. So your marriage, you might be praying for your marriage to work, but God might be throwing a whole bunch of bombs to get you to move. You know what I mean? And I truly believe that sometimes, like, okay, you're not moving fast enough. I'm gonna have to show you now.
So we can agree on all those things. So if all that is so, why can't that mean that a new spouse or relationship is that something else for you?
And that's the point I was trying to get them to see. I'm not up here telling people to leave their spouse.
Right.
You can pray for new jobs and all a new car and, you know, like frivolous things, but why can't God give you something better in a better relationship and a better partner and a better human being that you're going to spend the rest of your life with?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, they want in other areas of their life, but they don't always want to be honest that they want that in their relationship.
Right, right.
You hit it on the head. You hit it on the head. They pray, you know, sometimes people just pray so hard for everything. I don't know what it is. I feel like people think marriage is a magic bean of relationships.
Right.
It's not.
Right.
It's not. Mm-hmm. Your responsibilities are different. Your allegiances are different. Like, you have to move. You have to move so different when you're married. And that's a big thing. And to just jump in it frivolously with someone or jump in it because that's what you want and you're not even really clear on your purpose or if that's really God's purpose for you, but then you jump at the same time because you hold the title of husband, you hold the title of wife, and saying, God ain't gonna bless you with my husband. Maybe he could be somebody else's blessing.
Maybe he can bless you with that one.
I'm like, why are you so surprised if someone else vibes better with your spouse? Like, it makes me cringe when I hear someone say that someone outside their marriage infiltrated, disrespected, ruined, home wrecked their marriage. It's like, was it really them that created, was it really them that created that demise in a relationship, or was it you?
Right.
Like, why are you blaming the side piece all the time? The side piece don't have allegiance to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that, again, let me mark my disclaimer. Cousin Sean ain't never been married yet, and I can't give married people advice. I'm only provoking thought because I like to have those types of conversations. I'm not saying this is my complete view of how marriages should operate. I just like people to think. Because I think that people get stuck behind these memes and co-signing and high-fiving these memes. And it's like, it's true. Maybe not. It's possible. Because I just don't believe that every side piece relationship is a failed relationship. There are a lot of people that are married that started out of side pieces. I'm just saying.
Right.
And I know some of them. And some of them are probably listening right now, and I'm not putting your business out in the street. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. You know, and nobody on this show knows anything about this. We're just speaking and talking in general.
No.
We're just provoking thought.
Disclaimer.
So we don't want no problems. Mm-hmm. I don't want nobody. No, I ain't talking to nobody's husband. I don't want nobody calling me.
Right.
Like, okay, I'm, you know, nope.
Hey, Barbara, you ain't Shirley.
Exactly.
Don't come to me as a woman.
Woman to woman.
No. Right.
Please stop.
Don't come out of a bed on me.
Please don't come out the bag on me. Please. Please don't. But yeah, I found that interesting. I do wish that we would have gotten some responses on that, on our Facebook page, because I would really like to know people's perspective on that. And it's not too late, people. You can go on our Facebook page. You can find the post. The meme is posted there. Make your comments. Let us know what you think. Do you think it's possible? That, I mean, even in the slightest little bit, do you think it's possible that God actually can bless somebody else with someone else's mate? Maybe they weren't your soulmate to start with. Who knows? Just something to talk about. We're provoking thought here. That's it. So that's all we have for you tonight, friends. Join the cousins next week as we keep up with the thought-provoking conversations. Remember, follow us on Facebook, Your Favorite Cousins. Share our page. Comment on our post. Share our post. Join in the conversations. Who knows? We might discuss your comment live. If it's anything you want to hear us talk about, send us a message or email us at yourfaithcousins@gmail.com. And that's my time for this week. Do you ladies got anything to close out with? Any comments?
That's it.
Have a good week, folks.
Yeah. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
All right. Bye.